Good morning, guys, or good evening, depending on where you are. My name is Tulika. I'm an escalation engineer with the Azure App Service team. And today I'm here to talk about one of the cloud features that we have in the App Service environment, which is WebJobs. So I'm going to be assisted here by my colleague, Hari, who has joined the chat and will be answering any questions that you may have while we are doing the presentation. We do have some time at the end, so for a Q&A in case you have any questions later. So for those of you who do not or have not heard about App Service, which I think most of you have actually heard about it, but it is basically our integrated offering for a PaaS environment. A PaaS environment means that we host everything for you. The platform is managed for you. All that you need to do is get your workload and let us host it for you. App Service consists of four different offerings. One is web apps, which is what we are going to extensively look at today. Then we have mobile apps, which is if you want to build a mobile kind of an application. We have API apps in case you want to do HTTP endpoints. And finally, we have logic apps, where if you want to do some kind of workflows and take advantage of services which are provided by external parties or Microsoft parties. So that's the integrated offering we have for App Service. And today we are going to talk about one feature which is called WebJobs, which is, since it is an App Service feature, it will work in any kind of app that you create, whether it's a web app or it's a mobile app or it's an API app and so on. However, most of the examples that I would be showing today are more related to web apps. So what exactly are Azure WebJobs? When we came out with Azure Websites, as it was originally called, we had a lot of people who wanted to do some kind of background processing on their website. The background processing would be similar to services or bad jobs that you might have in your on-premise environment. They wanted to do it on the cloud. Now, keep in mind that this is a PaaS offering, which means that you don't actually have control over the environment. You could, of course, deploy your website, but it was very difficult initially to be able to call your own exe or a command or do anything which is outside the website. Most developers resorted to the only thing available to them is kick out a background thread and try to do some processing on that thread. So since we saw that happening more and more often, we introduced a feature called WebJobs, which allows you to host and also schedule some lightweight jobs on an existing website. So your website works as it is, but you do have some lightweight hosting and scheduling available associated with the website. You could have web jobs which are triggered just once. So you could go on the portal and trigger your job once, or you could run it by schedule, or you could run it continuously. Right now, we have support to all these different kind of files that you can run with your website. So starting from the standard Windows files like exe, cmd, bat, but you can also do the Linux stuff like a bash file, some PHP or Python stuff, or even a Node.js stuff. And we also have integrated dashboard experience so that you can find out how your web job is running. And I'm going to show most of these features as we walk through the various demos that I have. So some theory first. So this is your Azure website or your Azure web app. It typically has a website, which is the application that you're running. It could be .NET, PHP, Python, or anything. And more often than not, your website will be doing some kind of an operation which would be interacting with something in Azure storage. That was one of the most common examples that we saw, that a website went and did an upload to Azure storage, went ahead and wrote something to a queue, put in some items in a blob, and so on. The way the web job kicks in is once your website has finished doing whatever it wants to do to storage, the web job kicks in and goes and checks the queue and finds out what exactly is happening there. So it can pick up items which have been put in a storage queue and do some kind of a processing based on that item. Now, these are some of the capabilities for web jobs. Firstly, that every aspect of a web job is optional, which means that all you need to really do is have an exe over there, or a command, or a batch. So that's all you really need to do. There's nothing else that you need over there. You could have connections to any of the standard things that you could connect to from a web app perspective. For example, you could have connections to a VNet, a VPN, any BizTalk services, database, anything basically that you can do from your website can be done through a web job. It works with every other website feature, and we're going to talk about two most important features. One is the always-on feature, and the second is the scaling feature. It generally is a program. You can just drop it anywhere, so it's an EXE. You don't have to go through complex deployment to get it up onto your website. And now the thing to note out here is your web job sits in the same instance as your website. So your website is actually a W3WP which is running, and your web job is an EXE or a command or a batch file which is running on the exact same instance as your website. So sometimes if you're doing some kind of CPU intensive work, keep in mind that your website may get affected depending on the work you're doing. So if you're running into situations like that where your website is getting negatively affected by the web job that you're running, you have the option of creating that web job in a separate hosting plan altogether and manage its scaling completely separate from the website itself. These are some of the common scenarios that we have customers using web jobs for. One of the most common scenario, and this is a scenario we see in the support organization a whole lot, is in Azure websites, we have this concept of a front end. The front end, you can think of the front end is like a load balancer. It goes ahead and takes the request, finds the worker instance which is going to process the request, and sends the request to the worker instance. Now, the front end implements timeouts. The current timeout is 4 minutes, which is implemented on the front end, which means that if you have a request which is executing for more than 4 minutes, the front end is going to forcibly abort the request or timeout the request. We have this timeout in place because what happens is if we have long-running requests, they could take CPU, they could use resources and take over things in your worker process. We don't want that to happen. So there is a forced timeout of 4 minutes. Now, if you genuinely have something which takes more than 4 minutes, what do? You obviously can't run it on a W3WP thread, or you could run it if it's a background thread, but you definitely cannot run it on a request thread. So in that case, web jobs comes into the picture, you hand it off to a separate EXE, it starts running the request. Some of the other stuff is anything which goes into a storage queue, you want some processing. You might think of a shopping cart application where you have customers purchasing things from the shopping cart, and then you want to do maybe some inventory processing in the background while they're adding stuff into the shopping cart. You could have some jobs which, you know, trigger at regular times, cleans up your database, or perform some analytics on your database. You could do some kind of image processing, or maybe things like database management, that is backups, etc. So these are some of the common scenarios for which we see customers using web jobs. Now, web jobs can run in three different modes. One is on demand, which is basically a user intervention. So user specifies when they are going to run the web job. Since it is something which is running inside a website, just like you can invoke the website using REST API, similarly, you can trigger a web job using REST API. So you can either go to the portal, and I'll show you how the portal looks like, and you can go to the portal and trigger a web job, or you can call a REST API endpoint and trigger the web job as well. The other two options is scheduled. So scheduled is you're using the Azure Scheduler service, which is available as a separate service in Azure, to trigger the execution. You basically set up some kind of schedule, execute 15 in every 15 minutes, execute once a day, whatever, and you set up in the Azure scheduler. We have linkages to the Azure scheduler, so the web job executes whenever the scheduler executes. The good part about this is it's automatically load balance. So, you know, if you have more than one instance for your website, your web job will run on the least loaded instance. So your request will go to the least loaded instance. So that's schedule jobs. You also have an option to have the job run continuously. If you have the job run continuously, it becomes almost like a service, like in the on-premise world. Of course, you don't install it as a service, so it's not like you go to your Azure PaaS environment and install a service. You can't do that. But you could write some code, and we do have the SDK and APIs which allows you to do it, and you can run it all the time. One of the things that you have to remember when you're trying to run continuous is you have to make sure that your web application is set to be always on. The reason we have that is if your web application goes down, so this is an exe or a you know, some command which is executed together with your website. So if your website goes down or stops or idles out or crashes, your web job will be stopped too. So therefore, if you want your web job to be running continuously, you have to make sure that your web application is set to always on. If you have set it continuous, our infrastructure automatically monitors the states and sees that if it needs to restart the website, it will make sure that it will restart the web job as well. This is typically happening if you're trying to do some kind of deployments, which makes a website restart happen. The other option that we have out here is running the web job in a singleton or a parallel mode. So by default, if you do not specify anything, the web job will run on all the instances that you have for your web application. So if you're running your web application on 10 instances, you will have 10 instances of the web job also running. However, you might have some piece of code where parallel processing is not an option. A common example would be, you know, stuff like if you want mailers to be sent out at a particular time on the day. You obviously don't want the web job running on 10 instances and sending the mail 10 times. So in that case, you can specify there's a property of the web job called singleton where it is in a special file, and we look at the file, it's called settings.job file, where you can specify a singleton property to be true, which means it will take the least loaded instance, whatever it is at that point of time, and run the job. When we say continuous, it actually has two kinds. One is continuous, where it's running all the time. The other is event triggered. Event triggered is where things become more useful or more interesting. It is basically you bind your web job to things which are happening in the system. One of the common things which are happening in the system are actions which happens on storage. So storage queues, blobs, tables, service bus queues, and so on. And we look at several examples of this on how you can bind your web job on things which happen on the storage. So instead of doing a lot of slides, let's go ahead and see a demo. Now, as with most things that we do in Microsoft, we are going to start with Hello World demo. So I'm going to show how we have the tooling also available in Visual Studio. So Visual Studio has the feature of all the tooling, so we're going to see it from Visual Studio. If you haven't seen it already, you can go to the portal. This is just to see how the web job looks on the portal. So you can go to your portal and you can go to your website. Keep in mind, this is the old portal. So this is manage.windowsazure.com. We are still working on getting all the features into the new portal for web jobs. So therefore, most of the features are actually right now available only on the old portal. But we are working to get this all on the new portal on portal.azure.com as well. Once you go into your website properties, you will see there's a tab called Web Jobs, and if you click on that tab, and you will see that We have some web jobs out here. Right now it is says that it's running. You can go over here and stop a web job and do whatever you want with it. You'll also notice that there is a special link out here, which is your web job dashboard. And we'll look at web job dashboards in just a little bit. So you have your web jobs out here. Now, one way to quickly deploy a web job is click on the add button out here. And it gets up the new web job dialog box where you can specify a name of your web job and you can upload a zip file. So web job, as far as the Azure portal is concerned, is nothing but a zip file which contains an executable. So you can upload any zip file, which is of course less than 100 MB, and have an exe in it, and we will automatically run it for you. Now, some of you might be thinking, what happens if I have a zip file which has 5 exes? Which one will it run? Because here we are not specifying that. Turns out that we can again set that. We can set the order in which the exes will be executed in our settings.job file, which where you can specify this execute this exe, then call this one, and then call this one, and so on. Here you also have the option on the three options I mentioned earlier. So you can run it continuously, that is all the time. You could run it on a schedule or you can run it on demand. So right now we are not going to do it from the portal but do it from Visual Studio to see the integrated experience. So let's go to Visual Studio and we are just going to create a new project. Now, in Visual Studio, I do have the Azure SDK installed. So that gives you some of the tooling which is available for Azure. So you need to make sure that you have it installed. I'm using Visual Studio 2015, but you can also use 2013 and everything will all work as it is. So I'm going to take a console exe. Now, as I said, a web job is nothing but an exe. Or any kind of executable file. So you can do whatever you're doing with a console exe. So I'm going to take a console exe and I'll just call it something. And we'll just specify the name to be the same. And say okay over here. This is a normal console exe. Any kind of code that you would write in an exe can be written out here. So the first example that I'm going to show out here, I'm just going to say that I'm not going to do anything fancy. I'm just going to do a console.writeline and say, So I'm just going to print the current time. So that's it. And we can build our application. So this is built. Now, if you right click on this application, you will see that we have an option to publish as an Azure web job right over here in Visual Studio. So you don't even have to do the whole thing that we were talking about from the portal standpoint. So you can click on publish as Azure web job. And this brings up how you want to do the publish. So this is your website name, which is fine. And notice that just like we had on the portal, we have the three options. We can run continuously, we can run on a schedule, or we can run on demand. The first time, so if you change any of these options, for example, if you say run on demand, that'll give you just once, you can just click it, you can run it once, or you can use one of the REST APIs and call the web job. You can say on schedule, and over here, now you can specify the reoccurrence. So you can say it's a one-time job, and you can specify which time, or you can say it is a recurring job, and if it's a recurring job, how many times do you want it to recur? recur, and you can specify starting on and the ending on time. So this is a normal scheduler service. If you were using the Azure scheduler service, this interface is very similar to the Azure scheduler service. In fact, this whole dialog box is being populated by the Azure scheduler service. So this is the, you know, the first one. So let's go ahead and say run on demand and say okay. And again, this is just the integrated Visual Studio experience. So we'll say Azure App Service. I do have a number of subscriptions that I have, so I'm going to use one particular subscription. And instead of using an existing app service, I'm just going to say new out here. Now, again, coming back to my previous point, a web job is always associated with a website. So you have to create the website to which your web job is associated. So in this case, my site, let's say, is PGI Simple Demo. That's your Azure websites. And again, this is your normal app service environment. Let's choose our subscription. The next thing is the app service plan. The app service plan defines what kind of a tier you're going to use. This defines your pricing tier. So basically, are you going to use a free tier? Are you going to use a basic tier? And so on. In this case, I'm just going to use a tier which is closest to me, which is Southeast Asia. And it has automatically populated the resource group and the region for me. Again, this is normal app service stuff. This is not specific to web app. The reason we are asking you to fill all this information in is we have to create the website to which the web job is associated. So that's what this is doing. And we can say create. So now it's going up to Azure and creating it, so just taking a little bit time there. So right now it has just created the website. It has not actually done the publish. In this case, it's giving me the publish profile and asking me to do the publish. We can do a next out here. We can say, I'm going to do debug for the moment. And we can do a publish. So we can see the publish has started. This is your application package being published to your website. In this case, keep in mind our website has nothing. All that it has is that exe from our web job. So it has successfully published it. And since we are sitting inside Visual Studio, we can go to Server Explorer, which is provided by Visual Studio, and we can look at our resource group in the Server Explorer. I think I can increase the font size of what is appearing out here. I don't think I can increase the font size of my Server Explorer. I'm not sure about that. Or I could change my resolution if you're not able to see. Okay, let me just show this and then I'll change the resolution of my screen. So basically, I'm just going to Server Explorer, and this is my website, the one I created. If you go inside the website, you see that there is something called a web job, and you can go into your web job. And if you look at this, there are two kinds of web jobs. You have an on-demand and a continuous job. So you can click on demand, and we'll wait for it to refresh. And it has refreshed, and that's my simple website. So simple job. I can go over here and click on run. So that's just running the thing over there. Now, the other thing is, okay, how do I know that it ran? I can go over there and look at view dashboard. A dashboard is nothing but I'm sorry, the fire alarm has gone out here. Sorry about that. So once you run the web job, it goes ahead. This is your dashboard, which gives you an experience of what is happening in while you ran the web job. So right now it is telling you that it ran your exe file. I'm sorry about the noise. Okay, sorry, that was false alarm. So we have our web job out here, and we can see when it ran, and you can go and click over there. And it gives you some kind of interface out here. So it tells you we have initialized it, we are now running the script, and notice that this is what we were trying to print out by our print statement. So that's the time, and it changed to success. Now you can do this right on the portal itself. So I can go to my web app. And let's look at my simple demo out here. You can go to your web jobs tab. And you see that this has been set as an on-demand web job. And all that you need to do is there's a run once option. So you can click on run once. And it is saying that it is starting. It says the last run result was a success, and hopefully when we go to the dashboard is nothing but a SCOM endpoint to your web job. So it is a Kudu or a SCM endpoint to your web job. So over here, it takes sometimes a little time to get this refreshed. Still hasn't refreshed it because it says was 1 minute ago. So it takes some time for the web job to be refreshed. But basically you get the idea that you can have your web jobs, you can get some kind of feedback on how it is running, what is happening. You can do some kind of print statements within the web job to make sure that it is running. Also, while you're doing the publish, if we go back to Visual Studio, you can change the web job now to be running continuously. And let's go ahead and do that. Now, to change the web job to run continuously, all that you really need to do is make sure that you put in a loop. So some kind of a loop. It could be a while true loop. It could be any kind of a loop which makes sure that your web job is running continuously. So you could have that and then now do it as a continuous web job instead of the on-demand web job. And it's going to give you exactly the same experience as we saw earlier. So instead of just showing it over here for the simple web job, we look at it in a more complex scenario for a continuous job. So let's go back to our PPT. This is some information about our platform. So first is it inherits from the Azure scheduler. I mentioned that earlier. The schedule that you can set up is through the Azure scheduler. However, very soon we realized that Azure scheduler has its own limitation. One of the major limitations is that it is a paid service. You can run it in the free mode, but in the free mode, it allows you to have only a maximum of 5 jobs. So in case you are running more than 5 jobs, you have to do it as a paid service. In addition to it, the Azure scheduler has limitations on where it can be deployed. So if you are, you know, maybe you want a deployment to happen in a particular place, you cannot be assured that Azure scheduler is going to be in that particular place. Also, if you have to do a lot of minute control of when the job runs, Azure Scheduler doesn't allow you to do it. To overcome those limitations, our product team came up with something called cron expressions. So cron expressions is a Linux term. It's actually an open source term. What it allows you to do is you can create your own schedule expressions. And you can go ahead and run it. So it basically, can somebody mute their mic in the meeting, please?
Can somebody mute their mic
in the presentation? So you have cron expressions. You can specify expressions in a settings.job file. It's just like a JSON format job file, which is uploaded together with your exe. And it will pick up the expression, and there is a scheduler service which is running on every single instance on which your website is running. So you can use that to have your own scheduler service rather than using the Azure scheduler. The advantage of that is, first of all, it's free. So if you're paying for the website, you are automatically paying for the Azure App Service scheduler. So therefore, you don't have to buy anything more. It gives you finer grained control of the kind of schedules that you can create for your app service. So that's the other advantage. The platform inherits everything from Azure websites. So for example, if you have deployment slots in your app service, you can have your web jobs, which are sticky to a deployment slot and run on slots. You inherit the always on feature for your web app, and this is something we spoke about earlier. You have support for all these languages, which is mentioned. Any deployment options which are available for Azure websites is available for your web jobs. So you can do a Git, you can do Dropbox, you can do Visual Studio, you can do it on the portal. It's completely scalable. As you scale your website, you will also automatically scale your web job, and we'll be seeing a demo of that. By default, if you upload it through the portal, or even if you upload it through Visual Studio, this is the folder structure on which your web job is uploaded. So it's basically site www root. Within the actuator folder, there's a jobs folder created. And there are job type, and the job types are schedule or continuous, and you have the job name, which is the actual exe you're going to be executing. Triggered web jobs are automatically load balanced. So therefore, so whenever a request comes for a web job, the web job is running on all instances. The Azure, the load balancer will automatically take the least loaded instance and start running or executing it on the least loaded instance. This is for cron expressions. In case you are, RPG recommends that going forward, you should be using the cron expressions rather than using Azure Scheduler. However, there are certain limitations of cron expressions. The first is it's only available for basic, standard, or premium modes. So it is not available if you're running free or shared. The second thing is it needs always on for your application to be set. So if you have any reason why you don't want always on to be on, which always on basically means that every time your website goes down, we will automatically turn it on. There will be no idle timeouts. So it needs to be enabled. The way you set cron expressions is there is a file called settings.job, which is uploaded in the root of the web job zip file. And that settings.job contains the expression that you're going to be using. Now, these expression formats, I've listed down some of the formats that you can use. This expression format is not specific to Microsoft. It's cron is an industry standard. So whatever you can do from a cron industry perspective, you can do it in your settings.job file as well. So here's how you set up your schedule. You specify, it's a JSON kind of expression. So you specify schedule and you give whatever your schedule is. So let's go ahead and now see how scaling works for a web job. And this time I'm going to use a little more complex web job. So I'm going to go ahead and, so this is a demo web job that I've created. It's called the Qs demo. I've already deployed it, but I'm going to show some of the stuff that I've done in this web job. So first is I have this program.cs. This is, as I've been saying, it's just an exe file. So it has needs to have a static void main, and that's what we have. Now, over here, in this case, we are using the Azure Web Jobs SDK. The Azure Web Jobs SDK provides you certain features and functionality, which you can do it on your own if you want to. It just makes coding much more easier. So one of the things that is available in it is something called a job host. A job host is what allows, it's like a hosting environment for your web job. So that's how your web job starts. So you specify your job host. And in this case, let's not worry about this part. We'll come to what this part was doing. The important statements that you need to be looking out here is you create a new job host environment, or you create a hosting environment for your web job, and then do a run and block, which means that keep running it all the time. Now, another feature of your web jobs is the ability to have triggers. So basically, you can bind functions inside your web job to a storage object. It could be any kind of storage object. In this case, the storage object that I'm trying to bind to is a queue, a storage queue called scale queue. What this really is doing, so this could be any function. All that we need to have is this function needs to be public. So it could be any function. Now in this, so it could be any function. Now we are going to have the queue trigger over here. I'm going to trigger on an object called scale queue. That's a queue that I have, and I'll show you the queue that I created. I'm going to, as soon as an item gets added to the queue, the web job will automatically be triggered, rather the function will automatically be triggered, and a message will be sent to this particular function, which is going to read over here, and we are doing an automatic conversion and putting it as a string message. The various kinds of messages which are available, you could do a POCO object, you could do a blob information object. In this case, we're keeping things simple and it's just a string message. All this is doing is, over here, we are simulating some kind of a delay. The only reason I'm simulating some kind of a delay is, let's say that I want, you know, some, maybe that's doing a CPU intensive stuff. So instead of doing a CPU intensive stuff, I'm just doing a delay. And finally, I'm doing a write line. I'm doing a write line to the message. So all this particular web job is doing is, this is job host, and in this we are running the web job continuously. It's a continuous web job. We are executing actions on triggers. So we take a trigger on a particular queue. We convert it into a string. We write it to the console. That's really what we are doing. So nothing much to it. I've already deployed it and published it, so there's nothing, you know, again, it's published, it's just an exe, so there's nothing much that you need to do over here. Just to show you in the Server Explorer, I could go ahead, and this is my queue. I could go ahead and, you know, look at the view queue. Right now, my queue is empty, so nothing in the queue at the moment. Just to make sure that we have published it, we can go and look on the portal. So I published it as a queues demo. And if we go to the web jobs tab, somehow the portal seems to take longer whenever you're doing a demo. So we see our particular queue. It is a continuous web job. Notice that here, this is our SCM endpoint. So if you want to look at the logs, that's our SCM endpoint. Another thing that I wanted to show for this particular web job is, if I go to the dashboard, if I go to the scale tab, notice that the scale is set to be one instance. So I'm running on a single instance with a small core. So it's running on one instance. So let's go ahead and run this. Now, to run this, we have to add items to the queue because we have a queue trigger out here. So we have to add items to the queue. Let's go ahead to the web job and let's browse to the SCM endpoint of the web job. These, of course, was when I was testing it, so you can see it ran 21 hours earlier. These are much older logs. Now, coming back over here, I also have a small exe. This is not part of my web job. All that this particular exe does is it's got a program.cs, and it creates some demo data. So what I'm doing out here is I'm reading my storage connection string. I'm going ahead and adding some messages into my queue. That's all it's doing. So I'm just going to, I'm dumping 10 messages in the queue in this. So I'm going to take this and I'm going to make this as a startup project and let's go ahead and run this. We'll say start new instance and this is running my, and hopefully it has finished quite fast. I can go ahead and look at my queue and you can notice all these items have been dumped in the queue. Let's go back to my web job interface or my dashboard. Now, it does take some time for the first trigger to happen. The reason it takes some time is the WebJobs SDK goes ahead and monitors the storage account. And depending on how many accounts you have, it might take some time. Now, notice out here, this is from today. So over here, my web job is running and I can see executed. Now, two items have been picked up from the queue. I haven't done anything for parallel processing. I have specified, now, two things that I have specified out here. If I go back to my program.cs, notice that I've set batch size to be 2. What I'm really saying is, by default, our web job can pick up things in batches from a storage item. So in this case, we can see it is picking up a batch which is of 2. So we have one instance, it's picking a batch of 2 at a time. Now since we have a delay, we will see that it will take some time. And let's do a refresh. And after it finished the 2 that it had, we can toggle these. So it finished the 2 that it had and it picked up 2 more. So that's how it's working. It's automatically doing the threading or the batching. So you as a programmer, since you're using the SDK, you don't have to worry about it. Of course, if you did not want to use the Azure SDK for whatever reason, you would have to implement your own batching algorithm. So we can see that it keeps on doing show new invocation, and it keeps on picking items from the queue. So it has picked up. Again, as I was saying that there might be a slight delay in the way it picks up the items. The reason for that delay is that sometimes you might have a storage account which has a lot of items in it. You could have a lot of storage resources. And what we try to do is we walk through everything in your storage account and try to figure out what we need to have a trigger on. So since if you have a large storage account, we might spend a lot of time in trying to figure it out. I'm just going to wait for this to finish before I do my next operation. So you can see we have picked up hello 6, hello 7, we have till hello 9. You can also see that we've picked up 8 and 9 out here. We're still running them, we haven't finished them. And the reason we haven't finished them is because we put the sleep in there, basically. So we're still waiting for the sleep to complete. Hopefully it'll be done soon, but we can see that all items have been processed. And we can see success in all of them. So we can see that everything has been processed. Now let's go back to our web app now. And let's go back to the scale tab. So same application, we're going back to the scale tab. And now let's go ahead and increase my instance count to be 2. So what we are doing is we are saying we're going to have 2 instances for my in which to run my web app, but it also means that I have 2 instances to run my web jobs into. So I can do a save out here. So this is just going to add an instance, which it has done. And now let's go ahead and run the demo again. So we go back to our queues demo, and I'm going to do... I can't remember if I set it as startup. Let's go ahead and run it once again. Okay, and let's go ahead and look in our Survey Explorer just to make sure my queue has been populated. It has. And now go back to our dashboard. And let's do a refresh. So we can see it has changed to starting. It's starting my script host. It's running it. Again, the dashboard is a little flaky at times. Sometimes it doesn't manage to figure out that it has a refresh. So over here, we can see that we are running four queue messages at the same time. Instead of two, we are running four, which means that if we were doing a batching of two, we now have running on two instances, so we are processing four messages at the same time. So that's one of the ways where you can increase the capacity and the resources that you're going to use for your web jobs. And again, it's the same things that you would have for your website. So let's go back to our PPT. The WebJobs SDK is extremely useful. One of the useful or the most useful thing is the binding it allows you to do. So you can do
Hi, Talika. Are you still there?
Can you hear me now? Okay. So, going back to the WebJobs SDK, the WebJobs SDK provides some good features. One of the features it provides is binding, so it can bind to queues, blobs, and tables, and even service bus. It can listen on events. So one of the events that, or some of the events it listens to is when you create a new queue, a blob, or a service bus, and it can even listen to a modify on a blob. You can do monitoring for your functions. So basically, you can monitor how much time it took for a function, what are the invocation parameters. You can do some kind of basic profiling and so on. You could also have chaining between functions. So you could write, you could have a blob which triggers another blob, which triggers another blob, and you could have a chain of events being fired into a web job. It also allows you to do parallelism. So you can, you know, decide that whether you want to have a single or you can want to parallel multiple queue items. You can even call your functions as async functions rather than the synchronous functions that we were looking at. So basically, you can do a lot of stuff if you use the WebJobs SDK. However, it is not mandatory for you to do that. The WebJobs SDK also has a WebJobs SDK extensions, so which provides you certain common features which is not available in the SDK, but you can use the extensions. So one of the common features is things like SendGrid, if you want to do things like sending emails. So that's available in the WebJobs SDK extensions. So you can take advantage of WebJobs SDK extension. It's completely open source and available on GitHub. So if you don't like any of the stuff which is automatically provided to you, you can go ahead and on GitHub submit a change request. You can contribute to the SDK and put in your own stuff if you don't like the stuff that is provided. So now we see a real life web job. Now, this is, again, just taken directly from the MSDN. In this case, we have a web application, which is an MVC application, allows you to create certain small items and upload and order onto your, upload and add onto your application. And you have an associated web job with it, which allows you, so over here we have something called functions. So it allows you to upload an image, and once it has the image, it goes ahead and converts the image into a thumbnail and puts it in a blog. So I'm going to just, sorry, let's go ahead and change the font size. So I want to explain what this is doing. So over here, notice that we have a function called generate. So before that, let's go to program.cs. In program.cs, like we saw earlier, we are using a job host and we are doing run and block, which is calling something called functions.cs. And in functions.cs, we have a function called generate thumbnail. Here we are binding to a queue trigger, and in this case we have a queue called thumbnail request. And for some of you who have never done Azure storage programming, it's basically, it's able to pick out your storage account, because I have this in your app.config. So in the app.config, notice that I have set connection strings for my storage account. This would be normal storage programming, it's not specific to web jobs. So in my functions.cs, I am going and picking up my queue trigger. I'm converting whatever I pick up from the queue, this queue, and converting it into a blob information. And then I am saying, from that blob information, make an input, which is I'm reading the actual image, and then I'm making an output to another blob. So I'm reading an image from a blob, I'm writing it to another blob. In the add controller, we are initializing a storage, and you would notice that in the create function, we are basically writing something to the blob. We are uploading the image to the blob. Over here, you can see this. We are uploading the image to the blob. And as soon as we do upload, we dump a queue message into the queue. So this is what is happening in my web application, that I upload an item to the blob and dump a message into the queue. Over here in my web job, I'm going ahead and having a trigger on the queue, and I'm reading the blob, which was uploaded, the file which was uploaded, converting it into a thumbnail. How we do the conversion is not important. So you can use any API that you want to. In this case, I'm just using some graphic APIs out here and converting it into a smaller bitmap, which is a thumbnail out here. And then I have an output out here, so I'm saving the changes onto another blob. So I'm taking a full image, saving it into another blob. We are very short on time, so I'm not exactly going to run this application, but what I will show you is that we can go over here, and that's my demo, and we can just browse from here. So I can click on ads. So this is a thumbnail I was talking about. So what I did was that if I go to the details section, I have a full image that has been uploaded out here. And once the image gets uploaded in the create section, you go ahead and put a thumbnail over here, which is shown. So I've already run this, so I'm pretty sure it does run. I'm not going to run it again because we are really short on time and do want to take some questions at the end. So coming back to the PPT, I wanted to talk a little bit about, because you might have some confusion in your mind that why use web jobs? We could do the same thing. It's basically processing. So why not use a worker role? And you can use a worker role. It really depends on what you're trying to do. If you're trying to do any kind of performance intensive work, you are better off using a worker role. So you can do a worker role and do any kind of computer operations that you want. However, if you're doing something really small, you don't want to pay for those extra instances which is going to run your worker role. Instead, you can utilize the instance on which your website is running. So that's the real benefit of using web jobs. It's simple, it's quick, the deployment is really easy. The Web Jobs SDK actually simplifies a lot of work. However, that does not mean that if you're writing code for somewhere else, you cannot use the Web Jobs SDK. You can absolutely use it, but just that it makes work simple for you. So these are, it's basically you know, triggers and actions. These are some of the actions which can be taken from web jobs. So you can have triggers on all these services, and you can do things like connect to a SQL database, SGA Insight, any kind of external. So you basically can do anything that you could do on Azure from a web job. I just wanted to take two more minutes and spend some time on the common issues that we get. This is when we work in support and we have customers calling in and some of the issues that they report. One of the issues that is very common is the WebJob SDK works in a different kind of a publish mechanism than the Microsoft Azure DLLs. So if there is some kind of a sync issue between the WebJob SDK and Microsoft.Azure.Storage DLL, you will see things like your triggers won't happen or your WebJob might not function in the best way. The second is that always on should be set. If you want a continuous web job, you should need to make sure that always on is set. Otherwise, you will get messages where your web job will go away and you may be losing some state or something that you might need. The other thing that we keep on telling all our customers, this is a PaaS environment. We do provide you a dashboard. We have some minimal logging enabled. However, if something really goes wrong into your web job, it is a piece of EXE, and there's very little opportunity for you to debug it in your PaaS environment. So you have to make sure that you do all kinds of exception handling, tracing, and logging that you can think of in your code, because you don't have control over that EXE once it is deployed to websites. Another issue that we sometimes get is the triggers not getting fired, or you feel the processing is not happening. And there are two things which can happen, which we can help in determining those issues. First is, we try to ensure, or the SDK tries to ensure, that if an item has been picked up from a blob or a queue, it will not be taken by any other instance again. So once an item is taken from a queue, a blob receipt is created into a special kind of a blob, which is called Azure WebJob Host. So you can go ahead and look in your web Azure WebJobs host. That's one of the containers that you will see if you go to Server Explorer and you look at your storage containers. You can go into it, and that has a receipt for every single item which has been read from your blob storage. So you can go and look at that to find out if there were some items which were not processed or there was something bad which happened in trying to do multiple processing. The other is that by default, we go ahead and try to retrieve an item once. If it fails, we try again. And if it is a transient error, it might work. We try for a maximum of 5 times to retrieve an item from a queue or a blob. If it fails, we put a message into something what we call the poison queue. The poison queue means that there is something bad which has happened with the blob item that you were trying to retrieve. It is perhaps not in a format that you want, or perhaps it's corrupted, or there is something bad with it. So you can go ahead, and this is a special container which gets automatically created called WebJobs Blob Trigger Poison, where anything which does not or has not been processed gets automatically added to the poison queue. So that's another thing that you can check while you're trying to debug issues with triggers, that you can go and look into poison queues, and if you're seeing a lot of items in that queue, there's probably something horribly wrong with the blob items that you had uploaded. So these were some of the common issues.